Remember those baptismal certificates that hung on your grandparents' wall? Beautiful. They had the baptism of Jesus and other images and their name. It was always a constant reminder of the gift that the Lord Jesus gave them in their baptism. Well, we have a new version of that. If you visit wolfsoncreative.com, you can see the baptismal certificates there. They're available electronically for congregations to print as many as you want, or individually, paper copies for families to hang on the wall and treasure the Lord's gift of baptism. The website is wolfsoncreative.com. And with each purchase, Issues Etc. gets a portion of the proceeds to carry on their work. Thanks for visiting wolfsoncreative.com.
I wake in the morning, I wait on the Lord. And I ask him to give me the strength to do right by our country. And when I go to bed at night, I wait on the Lord. And I ask him to forgive me my sins.
Why are we doing this? Why get in shape? The Father made your body. Jesus paid for your body. And the Spirit lives in your body. So you better take care of it.
There's going to be a lot of skinny people in hell. And the size of their body or their body mass index is not going to be the standard by which Christ judges people on the last day.
We have no business going up to Christ. He comes down to us. Where the sinner is, in the gutter, in the grave, Christ comes to us and gives us his grace.
Duluth, Minnesota letter carriers, love, Issues, etc.
Every week we like to, if we remember and we have time, we like to do a sermon review here on Issues, etc. Sometimes it's the good, sometimes it's the bad, sometimes it's even worse than that, and we like to kind of mix it up as much as we can. Today, it's time to review a good sermon, one that actually is Christ-centered and cross-focused. You can tell a lot by listening to the good. You can learn a lot by listening to the bad. But listening to the good does something for you. It tunes your ear to, as a listener, tunes my ear as a listener to what you ought to be listening for every Sunday from your pastor, no matter where you go to church. If he's a Christian preacher, he ought to be preaching Christ and him crucified. Well, and the text for this last Sunday was tailor-made just for this, because we have Paul himself speaking to the Corinthians in the second chapter saying, I was determined to know nothing among you except Christ and him crucified. We often point this out when we do sermon reviews. It's one of the basic passages that we use to lay out our sermon diagnostic about how often is Jesus is mentioned, is Jesus the subject of the verbs, and what are those verbs. We'll get into that in just a second. And people have objected to this diagnostic for sermon review because they say we're making too much of Paul's words, I was determined to know nothing among you except Christ and him crucified. Certainly that's an exaggeration. Paul couldn't have meant that, and yet he says it quite plainly. And he says it in the context of some other verses there, wherein he is talking about the only way by which men are saved is through, as he says, the foolishness of that which we preach, or the one whom we preach, Christ and him crucified. So we'll stick with our passages, and we'll stick with our sermon diagnostic, and we'll review a good sermon this Tuesday afternoon here on Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. After our sermon review, we'll be joined by Pastor Keith Schweitzer. We're going to talk about the Campbellite movement. You might know them as Disciples of Christ, Churches of Christ. And he was raised in that particular tradition. We'll see what they teach. A little bit later, that would be the second hour of the program, we're going to be talking about friendshipping. It's a verb now. Friendshipping and missionary dating. They're both practices of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, especially if you live in Mormon country. Eric Johnson of Mormonism Research Ministry will be our guest. Then Corey Moss will join us. We'll talk about abortion and natural law. Can we make the case, Christians, make the case in the public square without citing Scripture against abortion based on natural law and reason? We'll answer that question in the last half hour of Issues, Etc. Now, you can join us for the next 2 hours. Our call-in number, live this Tuesday afternoon, February the 8th, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You can email us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at @issuesetc. We always like you to interact whenever we're doing sermon reviews. Feel free to toss in your 2 cents, too. 1-877-623-6943, talkback@issuesetc.org, or send us a tweet at @issuesetc. The diagnostic is simple. It is based largely upon the verse that is going to be preached today, I was determined to know nothing among you except Christ and him crucified, because Paul there lays out the basic, not the only, but the basic criterion for Christian preaching. And he is building solidly upon Christ's own words, where Jesus commands his disciples and all who would follow them that they proclaim repentance and the forgiveness of sins in his name to the ends of the earth. This is an example set by the apostles themselves. I mentioned Paul before, set by Christ himself. When he says, search the scriptures, you think you find eternal life in there, you should be looking for me. And it is set by the rest of the New Testament. I'm thinking about the passage from Hebrews chapter 12, where it says, look, this is all about looking to Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Jesus isn't just the starting point. He is the one that carries us all the way through, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, right to the cross. Notice that? Despising its shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So there's good precedent for this. How often is Jesus mentioned? That's part number one of the diagnostic. Keep a simple running tally of how often you hear Jesus, explicitly Jesus, by his various titles, not big man upstairs, not God generic, but Jesus. How often is Jesus mentioned? If he is mentioned, then go on to part two. Is Jesus the subject of the verbs? The other way of thinking about this, is Jesus the one who is doing the verbs, running the verbs? Is he the one doing the doing? It's a grammatical question, but it gets to the theology of what is being preached. Is this a sermon about what Jesus does, or is this a sermon about what someone else does and Jesus just gets honorable mention? And if Jesus is mentioned and he is the subject of the verbs, then you can go on to part three, and that is, what are the verbs? This is where the rubber meets the road. What kind of Jesus, what kind of action is Jesus being preached to you? The Jesus who helps, who holds your hand, who gives you a back rub, who gives you a hug when you're feeling bad, who's there as a shoulder to cry on, or who motivates you and inspires you to go out and do it yourself? Or is it the Jesus who does it? That is, who lives, suffers, dies, and rises again, all for you and all by himself without your help. So the text of the sermon is the first several verses of Paul's letter to the Corinthians, the second chapter, where Paul says, I decided to know nothing among you except Christ and him crucified. And when I came to you, it was in weakness, fear, much trembling. My speech and my message were not with plausible words of wisdom, but in a demonstration of the spirit of power, that your faith might not rest on the wisdom of men, but the power of God. The preacher is Pastor Brent Kuhlman. He preached it this last Sunday at Trinity Lutheran Church in Murdoch, Nebraska.
Dear brothers and sisters of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, well, there he is, the apostle, and he comes preaching, Paul. And you'll notice that Paul doesn't come as a show-off. He doesn't want anybody in the congregation saying, oh, what a preacher that Paul is. Paul doesn't want anyone paying attention to him or his style of preaching. Instead, in the text, he says, when I came to you, brethren, I didn't come with eloquence or superior wisdom. I wasn't trying to be clever. I wasn't trying to be imaginative. Wasn't trying to wow you with preacher Paul. I'm not here to show off my preaching skills. Paul instead would have us listen to the content of his preaching. In other words, listen to the words and not pay attention to the man. If you focus too much on the man, you'll get distracted. After all, Paul says he preached to the Corinthians in weakness, in fear, and in trembling. Paul's preaching style, shall we dare say it? Yeah, let's do it. It was a bit shaky. Not much of performance when he preached. The church bigwigs of today probably wouldn't allow Paul to preach in any congregation. Weakness? Fear? Trembling? You've got to be kidding. Preachers like that today don't get calls, or their calls are forcibly taken away from them. Weakness, fear, trembling. No drama, not very witty. And so I guess then, Paul, he must not have had anything worthwhile to say then in his sermons, right? Let's take a vote, shall we? Let's rescind preacher, pastor Paul's call to preach to us ever again in weakness, in fear, and in trembling. We'd better hold our horses. We'd better not pull the trigger on that one yet. After all, the content of Paul's preaching may just surprise us. Do you remember what he always preached? What he proclaimed Sunday after Sunday, month after month, and year after year? Do you remember? It was this. He says it in the text. He says, I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ. Except Jesus Christ and Him crucified.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our sermon review. The sermon preached Sunday by Pastor Brent Kuhlman of Trinity Lutheran Church in Murdoch, Nebraska, on 1 Corinthians 2, the first 12 verses. Really, he's sticking mostly to about the first 5 verses, because that's where Paul really says it all. Determined to know nothing among you except Christ and Him crucified. And there are many, most in the church today. Some of them are pastors, some of them are church leaders, some of them are just, parasite consultants who will tell you that this will fail, that this is no way to grow a church, this is no way to sustain a church. They'll tell you that if you simply preach Christ, His cross, for sinners, from the various texts laid out in Scripture for us, you'll get nowhere. In fact, some of them tell us that if you do this, you will make fat, lazy Christians, congregations that are lazy and useless and good for nothing. They're actually saying it. They're saying, and this is the brightest minds in the church today, unfortunately, saying that if you preach what Paul preached, what Paul was determined to preach among the Corinthians, you're actually an enemy of the gospel rather than a preacher of the gospel. Well, when we come back, we'll let this preacher preach some more of Christ and Him crucified, just like St. Paul. It's our Tuesday afternoon sermon review. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues, Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues, Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
The latest edition of the online Issues, Etc. journal is out. It contains an article that I've written titled The Theology of Jesus. What's the connection between the Church's Confession of Christ and her Confession of the Trinity? Find out with the latest Issues, Etc. journal. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor Mason Beecroft writes about the false promises of Pop American Christianity. Get your copy of the latest Issues, Etc. journal by sending your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org.
Preaching Christ and Him crucified. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues, Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues, Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. Tell me of the God-man who bore all the blame. Hey, preacher man. shouldn't be ashamed.
Well, isn't that exactly how St. Paul begins his letter to the Romans? He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And he proves it, especially under harsh circumstances like the Corinthian congregation, where apparently his preaching of the gospel, Christ and him crucified for sinners, was not meeting with a lot of accolades. And he reminds them of that. He, in fact, when he writes to them, points out to them, you remember how, what a lousy preacher I was, but I was determined to know nothing among you except Christ and him crucified. The ancient world was full, by the way, of people who could wow you with their rhetorical skills, who could convince you of anything if you gave them a couple minutes to talk to you. It was considered one of the highest arts in the ancient world. And Paul says, not for me. I'm going to preach the cross. Now, so far in our sermon, as we review it, from Pastor Brent Kuhlman at Trinity Lutheran Church in Murdoch, Nebraska. He's preaching 1 Corinthians 2, verses 1 through 6, and he's brought us to the point where Paul says, look, this was all I had to preach, Christ and him crucified. A little bit later after our sermon review, we'll be talking about the Campbellite movement. That would be Churches of Christ, Disciples of Christ, and a few other groups that are still around today. Pastor Keith Schweitzer will be our guest. He grew up in a Campbellite family. After that, we'll be talking about, what are we going to be discussing with Eric Johnson of Mormonism Research Ministry, friendshipping and missionary dating. It's something that the Mormons like to do in Mormon country. Corey Moss will be our guest in the last half hour. We'll talk about abortion and natural law. Back to our sermon. Paul says, I was determined to know nothing among you while I was with you except Christ and him crucified.
There you have it. Paul preaches Jesus, and not just any Jesus, but the Jesus who suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. I resolved to know nothing while I was with you, he says, except that Jesus. Oh, come on, Paul. Come on! Isn't that a stretch? You, Paul, can't possibly believe that you can run a church on just that kind of preaching, do you? A crucified and dead Jesus? Is that all? Are you kidding? You really can't expect that to be the answer to everything, can you, Paul? Oh, that's real mature, Paul. Paul, that's not going to get you, anyone, or the church anywhere in the world. The church, let alone you and me, can't rely on such foolishness, such weakness, such helplessness. Now, let's all be adults here, Paul, shall we? Let's be adults. Let's survey the smartest people out there. Let's hire the best consultants. Let's hold a summit. Let's get the brightest and most innovative techniques and ideas. Let's rack our brains. Let's look deep inside ourselves. We can come up with something much better than what you always preach, Paul. Or, we'll ask you to leave and never come back. And yet Paul remains in the pulpit. He won't get out. He digs in his heels. And most of all, he won't change the content of his preaching, even if it means the end of his ministry. Which, of course, the Roman governor finally put to an end. In Rome, with Caesar's help. Why wouldn't Paul budge? Because as he says in the text, faith cannot live on human wisdom, human innovation, human skills, human improvement, human potential, human cleverness. When it comes to the salvation job, must be eliminated. All the insights, all the astuteness, all the acumen, and the intelligence of human beings must be, dare I say it, I will, put to death. Yeah, I said it, put to death. Why? Because the old Adamic nature in all of us simply won't trust God's promises. It's because the old Adamic nature in all of us is so curved in on ourselves. As if we can speak a better word to ourselves. Like we're gods unto ourselves. Like that's real mature.
Notice what he's done so far here for us. Preaching Christ and him crucified. It's very easy to point fingers at all the consultants and the various people with bright ideas. And they always have a new bright idea presented in the brightest of all PowerPoints. It's very easy to point the finger there, and it should be, because that is a plague on the church. There's no doubt about it. The consultants, the people who are trying to innovate, telling us that we need to abandon the old preaching of Christ and Him crucified for something new, more popular, more relevant. It's a plague on the church. But the real problem is our own idolatry. The real problem is our own unwillingness to both continue, be steadfast in preaching and hearing this message of Christ crucified for sinners. And I can prove it to you. I speak as someone who is a big advocate for preaching Christ and Him crucified. If you've listened for more than 5 minutes, that should be evident. I hope it's evident to you. But I dare say there's not a time, an instance, in which I don't step into the pulpit armed with a Christ and Him crucified sermon. Same thing I've been preaching my whole ministry. Haven't really changed it up much. I preach sin from the text. I preach Christ crucified from the text without a lingering doubt that this isn't going to do it. I don't doubt that this is what God wants me to preach. What I doubt is the power of that gospel to do what God sends it to do. Now, I still go and preach it. Don't get me wrong. Because Paul himself says, woe unto me if I don't preach the gospel. But the doubt is always there. Is it really going to produce the kind of faith that God promises it will? So even those of us who are in favor of preaching the gospel every Sunday still doubt its power.
And so that's precisely why God sends a preacher like Paul, to save us from ourselves, from our idolatry, from our death, from hell, and from God's wrath, through the preaching of Christ Jesus and Him crucified. Paul says in the text, I preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Yes, Jesus, hanging dead on the cross, is God's power, according to the blessed apostle. Jesus, dead as a doornail on the cross, is God's wisdom to save sinners, an entire world full of them, you and me included. And so Paul says, I preach Christ crucified for you and for your salvation. Yes, Paul says, I preach Christ's blood, Christ's sacrifice. He, listen carefully, Jesus is the substitute when it comes to the game of salvation. The big game of salvation. I know you've got another game on your mind, but we're talking about the big game of salvation today. And you know what? You and I, we've all been benched. And it's Jesus, to switch my metaphors from football today to baseball, Jesus is the one that steps up to the plate and He hits the home run, the walk-off grand slam. And so the salvation game is over. Christ crucified. Christ crucified, Christ crucified. He is the power and wisdom of God for you. And in that preaching of Christ crucified for you is the Holy Spirit-filled word that calls you to faith in Jesus. In such preaching, the old Adamic sinful self is put to death, and the new creation of faith is called to life. Death, resurrection. God kills in order to make alive through the good news that Jesus, the Lord of glory, died for you, that He redeemed you and me, lost and condemned people. You know, God has interrupted our lives. He has invaded our existence with His Good Friday death. And so the old has passed away. Behold, the new has come through faith in Christ, the crucified one. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. That's you. And the Holy Spirit has called you to faith and salvation by that gospel. And He has buried you with Christ through baptism into death, the Good Friday one that counts for your salvation. And so when it comes to salvation, would you ever stop the preacher from preaching Christ crucified? Would you? Would you put all your confidence, all your faith instead in man's wisdom? Don't even go there. After all, the preaching of Christ crucified is enough. Enough to save sinners. And you and I all qualify. And it is for sinners such as you and me that Jesus then bestows his Good Friday crucified body and blood in the sacrament with the bread and wine. And with that he makes you a promise. And it is this: your sins forgiven. All of it. Completely. So it's no surprise then when you go to church, biblical and apostolic preaching is this: I resolve to know nothing among you except what? Jesus Christ and him crucified. Happy believing and trusting in that Jesus. In his name, amen.
All right, that's the sermon reviewed on this Tuesday afternoon, February the 8th, here on Issues, Etc. Pastor Brent Kuhlman preaching at Trinity Lutheran Church in Murdoch, Nebraska, preaching well on what the apostle would have preached himself, Christ and him crucified for sinners. By the way, you can read Pastor Brent Kuhlman's sermon under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Now, it seems like foolishness. It seems like it's going to get us nowhere. There are all sorts of consultants and people with bright ideas inside and outside the church recommending that we leave it behind, that we abandon it. But let's follow Paul and continue to proclaim and trust in Christ and him crucified for us sinners. When we come back, the Campbellite Church, Pastor Keith Schweitzer will be our guest. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. The Lutheran Church of the Good Shepherd in Greenville, South Carolina. St. Paul Lutheran, Chatfield, Minnesota. St. John Lutheran, Napoleon, Ohio. First Lutheran, Lufkin, Texas. Concordia Lutheran, Sykeston, Missouri. Hope Lutheran, Granite City, Illinois. Trinity Lutheran, Gladson, Alabama. And Lord of Life Lutheran, Chesterfield, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
The cross is always relevant. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Yesterday, I told you about late-term abortionist Kermit Gosnell, arrested without bail for the murder of one woman and seven born-alive babies. Conditions in the mill were ghastly. The district attorney estimates Gosnell made $2 million in 1 year. A search of his home revealed $250,000 in cash and a gun hidden in his 12-year-old daughter's closet. But you've probably heard precious little about this in the media, so I'm determined to reveal the truth about the abortion industry. Please read more. I posted the DA summary from the grand jury report at today's broadcast link at lifeissues.org. You and I must educate women who've been lied to by abortionists so they can make money killing their babies. Please read more today at lifeissues.org.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.